Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for...
Good morning.
The news.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
With your host...
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Because I am good at three things. Fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic.
There's more good news today.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Before we get to the news, Gronk is going to be in here tomorrow, and if you want to come in and have breakfast with Gronk, hang out with Gronk, then you should be the... What caller should we take, Curtis? You want to go all the way up to 25, or you want to go 7? I mean, you got to give people the opportunity who are listening on the stream. There's a little delay there, or the app.
I mean, say we do number 11 in honor of Bubs, who has been disrespected by the national media once again.
All right, let's do that. Caller 11... 617-931-0937. Bring a guest. Come in tomorrow, and you can be massaged with some CBD massage oil.
Yes.
By none other than Rob Gronkowski, expert NFL analyst. And the news brought to you by Northeast Men's Clinic. They specialize in the sexual health of men. Learn more at northeastmensclinic.com or call 617-793-5000.
Well, the lawyers for almost dead terrorists have filed a 207-page appeal saying he should be locked up in Supermax in Colorado for life instead of being executed.
This is outrageous. I get it. You're a lawyer. That's what you're paid to do. I mean, actually, sorry. You're not being paid by the actual defendant. You're being paid by the taxpayers.
By us, yeah.
And so even though he admitted it in the court of law, he admitted the marathon bombings, admitted the Collier thing, they're now saying that he should not get the death penalty.
They make 13 points for why the death sentence should be reversed. He was, of course, convicted and sentenced to death 4 years ago. They talk about how their client could not have possibly received a fair trial anywhere in Eastern Mass because the whole region was affected. They say 69% of the jury pool believed that he was guilty already. They say that
he was guilty. He admitted it in court.
They say that 99.7%, I believe, of the jury pool or people responded had been exposed to the bombings.
Where would you go in the United States of America to get a guy a trial who didn't know about the Boston Marathon bombings?
I'd be terrified of anyone who's like, no, I never heard of it. What happened?
I know. You'd be worried about a jury that doesn't know about
it. Right. The attorneys also argued that inadmissible evidence was used against him at trial, and two of the jurors allegedly lied during the jury selection process, which would thus have violated his constitutional rights. Now, Brad Bailey is a former federal prosecutor. He actually spoke with Boston 25 to talk about this this appeal that was filed.
They broke that down into six specific arguments, and they really went into a lot of detail as to why they think that original decision and also the First Circuit's denial of their pretrial appeal was wrong. If the Court of Appeals and the First Circuit agrees, there could either be a new trial granted or the death penalty verdict could be set aside.
Yeah, Boston Herald had a poll on their website. At last check, 83% of respondents said no, his death sentence should remain. They should not overturn the life sentence. And 17% said yes, a life sentence is more appropriate.
I'd like to know who the 17% are that thinks a guy who blows a marathon up killing people, severely injuring people, and then admits it in court, ought to not get the death penalty. I'm sorry. And, you know, like the audacity of people, like the guy, what a great country. You come over here from somewhere else. You're on the dole and you decide to blow up a marathon and then you got lawyers that can keep appealing your death sentence for the rest of your life so you never get executed.
There'll be plenty of compassion shown from Mr. Curbside Compost over here, but this all-time POS has the nerve to come here, commit the crimes that he does, and then we get to pay for the rest of his life?
Yes.
Get the hell out of here.
Yes. Who is Mr. Curbside Compost?
Me, just saying, like, I'm just saying, like, you know, like you'd expect compassion from me, like, oh, but you know, maybe we could turn it around. Oh, the poor kid. Oh, please, fry him.
Oh, fry him.
See you later.
Fry him is right.
Speaking of frying him, let's talk about the lady who had to lose her gallbladder.
And now...
It's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of Florida.
Florida? But that's America's way.
Not like the rest of us.
Another day in Florida.
Cocaine, right? I thought that was just for people in Florida.
Ugh, this poor woman. This is another case of we've run out of ideas and we have to start one-upping each other when it comes to everything. This woman went... She's from Tampa. And she went to the Don Caesar Hotel in St. Pete last February, I think. And she was having dinner for her birthday. So one of the tables adjacent to her had one of those desserts where they pour the liquid nitrogen over it and all the smoke comes up.
Yes.
Well, in that case, the liquid nitrogen flash freezes the product and then rolls off. You're not supposed to ingest it.
Yeah.
So she makes a remark to her server to the effect of, wow, that was really cool. So the dumbass server decides to pour the liquid nitrogen into her and her dinner companion's water glasses. She then drinks it.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Now, when you drink liquid nitrogen, basically what happens is your stomach fills up like with gas, inflates like a balloon, and can explode.
Yeah.
She immediately became sick.
Oh.
Had to go to the hospital. The ambulance took her to the ICU. She was there for days. Now, she had to have surgery to remove her gallbladder. Parts of her stomach were removed because the tissue had been burned so badly because liquid nitrogen is super effing cold, if you didn't know.
Bag of cash? Is she getting a bag
of
cash?
She filed a lawsuit.
But is it her fault? Do you consider that to be her fault or the server's fault? I get it. The server shouldn't be pouring the woman a drink of liquid nitrogen.
But I think I would be wary of just doing something without Googling it. But if you, I think in this case, you could safely assume that, well, they poured it on that food, so it looks like it would be safe to be ingested.
Gwyneth Paltrow actually recommended doing this.
That's how she stays so emotionless.
It got her to her leanest living weight. Yeah. So this woman has now filed a lawsuit in court against the hotel and the restaurant. The representatives for the hotel did not respond to requests for comment. We have a little sound from Peter Castle, who's with the FDA.
The temperature gets so low that it actually can burn you. And it can cause problems, burns in the mouth, as well as intestinal damage.
Unbelievable. So she's going to have digestive issues for life. I'd be shocked if she didn't get a bag of cash.
There are places. I think Ocean Prime in the seaport has a drink that has the dry ice or the liquid nitrogen in it. And, I mean, you're not even supposed to allow that to, like, touch your, like, lips. They probably ought to ban it so that this doesn't happen at other restaurants.
I mean, when you go to Chili's and you see the fajitas with, like, the sizzle come out of the thing, are you like, oh, man, I got to get a bite of that right now off that cast iron plate. Speaking of bag of cash, you guys remember that time that the older woman spilled the McDonald's coffee on her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a great documentary about that, by the way.
$3 million she got for that.
Have to watch. There's a really, really good documentary about it. Watch the documentary.
Really?
Yes, watch the documentary about it if you get a chance.
People were going nuts yesterday because Fortnite went dark. Did you see any of this online?
No.
Oh, my God, it was crazy. So the 10th season went out. The island was destroyed and nothing was there except for a black screen at the end. So everybody started freaking out thinking that Fortnite was deleted. It was gone. Fear not. It's going to be back with season 11 with a brand new map. However, Elon Musk was teasing that he was behind the shock ending. I don't know if you remember this. Last year, I think right around this time, he had sent out a joke tweet that said, like with a fake news headline that said, Elon Musk buys Fortnite and deletes it and kind of trolled everybody. Yeah. And now he brought that back up yesterday and he's like, we need to save kids.
Was the Pope tweeting about Fortnite as well?
The Pope was not tweeting about Fortnite. Just about the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah. Oh, that would be so great if Elon Musk bought it and buried it. It'd be so good.
Rhode Island was considering a fee. This is a good one. You'll love this since we're in Massachusetts. To simply walk into the registry.
Yes, this is outrageous. They were going to charge you. It was $15, right?
$15. Now it was for transactions that you could have done online. The goal was to reduce wait times because average wait times at the Rhode Island Registry were topping upwards of an hour, which seems like a gem of a wait time
compared to what we're dealing with here. Have you ever had to go to the registry in Watertown? They have like a line to get in line. Like there's one line where you wait in line to get
to get in the other line
to get your number. I mean,
good Chinese restaurant there though. While you wait.
Is that the name of the place?
While you wait.
I don't know what the name is. It's good though.
Wouldn't you pay $100 to have no line at the DMV though? Wouldn't that be brilliant?
No,
I'd pay $100.
No, what I would prefer to do is to, when the governor comes in here on Thursday, is to ask him why we can't just hire enough people so there doesn't have to be a two-hour wait at the Registry of Motor Vehicles.
No one wants to work there.
Is that possible?
No one wants to work there.
What do you mean nobody wants to work
there? Even though plenty of people still need jobs, no one wants to work there.
I'm not dealing with that.
I mean, it's just literally just like saying, like, you know what I'm going to do? This working at the RMV is like, you know what I'm going to do this morning? I'm going to drink a little lead.
I'm going to hate myself. Is there a way I could possibly hate my life more?
I know. Oh, I can't watch Jets highlights? I know what I'll do. I'll go work at the RMV.
Well, why do you think people don't want to work there? Because everybody's crabby.
Everybody's miserable. And nobody shows up with the right stuff. They could put everything on the website that you could possibly ever need and tell you till you're blue in the face. That's why they have to have the pre-line before the first line, before the second line, because nobody brings their stuff.
Yeah.
They show up and they're like, here's my incomplete application. I don't have my birth certificate. I don't have... Blah, blah, blah. They go in for the real ID. They have nothing that they actually need. The best savior is AAA. If you have AAA and you go to a AAA location, in and out like that.
Yeah,
awesome.
But again, I don't want to be paying for the opportunity to use any government service. Like,
right.
I don't want to pay a fee because I want to walk into the registry.
Right.
It's the most ridiculous thing ever. So they're not going to do it.
The good thing is the governor said she put the kibosh on this, and she's not going to include that as part of her new budget guidelines.
Well, that's not right.
So the plan basically is dead.
Yeah.
You ever pay a passport expediter? They're great.
Well, that's called I forgot that I needed my passport next week. Like that's what that's called. You don't have your S together.
Yeah.
Right. Elton John's new biography, or his new memoir, I should say, is out, and he talks about Michael Jackson in it. He says something pretty interesting. He says that Michael Jackson, at least when he got older, was mentally ill and disturbing to be around.
Really?
Yep.
I mean, you don't think that a guy who is like in possession of the Elephant Man's bones has some sort of issue? A person who's got a best friend who's a monkey is not. I mean, is anybody shocked by the fact that Michael Jackson had some mental illness?
Is that a Michael Jackson move?
Did Elton John also talk about Tom Brady being effective at quarterback?
He did not. He did not.
No.
Okay. But he says in his memoirs, I'd known Michael since he was 13 or 14. He said he was just the most adorable kid you could imagine. But at some point in the intervening years, he started sequestering himself away from the world and really away from reality the way Elvis Presley did. He said God knows what was going on in his head. God knows what prescription drugs he was being pumped full of. But every time I saw him in his later years, I came away thinking the poor guy had totally lost his marbles.
Did you like that Elton John movie, Ken? Did you go see that?
I didn't see that one. I saw the Queen one, but not the Elton John.
The Queen one was great.
That was great.
The Elton John one, I don't think, lived up to the hype. I thought it was going to be as good. Did you like it?
I was so nonplussed by the Queen movie, I hard passed on Rocket Man.
What?
Daddy.
Daddy.
Daddy. Why don't you love me, Daddy?
Daddy.
But you didn't
like Maverick's teeth for 2 hours.
How do you not like the Queen movie?
It just felt like such a movie. It was the adult coloring book of rock biopics.
Agreed, it was awful.
Yeah.
What?
Awful.
Curtis doesn't know who Queen is.
What was the name of it? We Will Schlock You?
It was great.
Oh, please.
What would name a better rock biopic?
I don't think there are.
The Doors?
That was a great movie.
The Doors was great.
Fantastic. I mean,
Almost Famous
is not a rock biopic.
Came to mind.
I mean, it's not a rock biopic, but it's sort of like a rock and roll journalist biopic, so it's pretty close.
It was a good movie, but you'd be hard pressed to name something better than We Will Rock You when it comes to like rock biopics.
I just felt like predictive text entertainment for music. I didn't like it. Rami Malek was fine. He was fine.
He
was fine.
I mean, the scene where he recreates Live Aid at Wembley is
It felt like it was just amazing. Like CGI. I felt like they were just standing in front of a giant green screen singing.
Nick, what?
I know. Yeah. Oh, Freddie Film School over here. Ah, oh, you're so hypocritical. Oh, I know. To ever take a discerning eye into something everyone else loves.
Oh, what about The Dirt? Did you like The Dirt?
Joe Dirt, good movie. I have not watched it. Joe Dirt, excellent movie.
It's definitely my third favorite David Spade film.
Straight Outta Compton was good. Is that a rock biopic? Not rock.
That was fantastic.
That was good.
Another
the
great
Ray Charles was good.
With what's his name playing Ray there?
Jamie Foxx.
Yes, that was really good.
He won the Oscar for that.
You know what else was good too? Was Walk the Line.
Yep, very good.
Joaquin Phoenix
and Reese Witherspoon won the people win a lot of Oscars for rock biopics.
But
I think
that was
that's
a really
lead.
Good movie. That was
what,
a great
Walk the
movie.
Line was fantastic.
That was a great movie. All right. Speaking of entertainment, when we come back, apparently we are going after SpongeBob SquarePants. SpongeBob is under attack. A professor at a university here in our country has some real issues with SpongeBob, so we'll get to that coming up next.
Dale and Keefe with Wiggy. Later today from 10 to 2 on Patriots Monday. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. Now you can order online from the 99 Restaurants. Convenient way. Make your life a little bit easier. Visit 99restaurants.com. Couple clicks. Favorite meals ready for pickup. Order online at the Nines today. The 99, always the real deal. Well, Boomer Esiason joined us earlier, as did Tom Brady. Of course, Boomer up at WEI.com, brought to you in part by DCU and Vertex. You asked him, Greg, about the Julian Edelman weekend controversy, which was Tommy Curran related. Bomani Jones and he were going back and forth, and Dan Patrick, show's producer, and basically Bomani Jones from ESPN was suggesting Curran's only giving him credit because he's 33 and doing the things that he's doing. So it was like a half... Yeah, he's fine for age 33. Here's a little bit of what Boomer said to us.
Anybody who's ever played the game, anybody who's ever had to cover him, knows that he is a top flight, number one target that you have to stop when you play against the Patriots, and it's almost impossible to do that. So I don't know who is saying that he's not, and whoever is saying that he's not, you know, they're basically a bunch of dummies.
So, Bomani Jones and Dan Patrick's producer, Andrew Perlman, is that his name?
Perloff, I believe. Yeah, they call him McLovin. It's absurd. Tom Curran laid out the stats. Edelman was the Super Bowl MVP for a reason, and he would have a top five wide receiver statistical season if it was played out over the last 16. It is such a dumb argument. And he's a great blocker, and he's smaller than everyone that he locks up against.
But I still think the most interesting thing with Edelman is they're trying to move him to the outside. That's a Curran report. So whoever they trade for, Curran says, will be an inside type of receiver, whether it's a tight end or a pass catcher. Because they don't want Edelman to take those hits, obviously.
And I think with the results yesterday in the desert and the injury suffered by Manny Sanders, we may want to move the narrative over to Mohamed Sanu. Thank you. Because, of course, there's Patriots ties down there with Dimitrov, and the Patriots and the Falcons have done business before, aside from Super Bowl 51. So I'd look at Mohamed Sanu, Greg.
Were you just thanking yourself there?
I did. No, Mohamed Sanu, thank you. I could have said bless you.
God bless you. I thought you were going to say
Josh
you.
McDaniels, next head coach of the Falcons.
Solid
no,
take.
No, going to Tennessee with Brady.
Yeah, there it is.
Solid take by Curtis right there.
Chiefs, of course, the big story over the weekend as far as Patriots fans are concerned. They lost to the Texans 2 straight at home. They're now 4-2. So the Bills are 4-1. And the Bills are the only other, of course, the Patriots are unbeaten, but a one-loss team. They're the only other one-loss team in the AFC. The Bills, by the way, have a pretty easy schedule. They got Miami this week, then Philly, but then also Washington after that. So the Bills could be theoretically 7-1, something like that. Maybe they are to be taken seriously. Jets a week from Monday night. You said 10-point spread right now, Fitzy, last check?
Yeah, 10-point spread. I believe the Patriots will win, but the Jets will cover.
And, of course, Sam Darnold back victorious in his return. They beat the Cowboys. Dolphins lose again. They're 0-5. And Sunday Night Football, Steelers beat the Chargers. Tonight it's Detroit Green Bay. We'll have it for you on Westwood One after Monday night, 7:30. We'll pick up the coverage. Baseball playoffs, Astros tied up the Yankees. 5-hour game. Carlos Correa walk-off homer in the 11th. Game 3 tomorrow. Become a census taker. Looking for a great paying part-time job with flexible hours? Check out the 2020 census. Apply today, 2020census.gov/jobs. It's the Greg Hill Show.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
One of the greats in the NFL, no doubt.
He gets it done. 125 catches over his last full season. Boomer Esiason earlier, Tom, said he'd be top five wide receiver in the NFL. So I think you got some pretty good company agreeing with you.
Yeah.
Because they don't want Edelman to take those hits, obviously.
And I think with the results yesterday in the desert and the injury suffered by Manny Sanders, we may want to move the narrative over to Mohamed Sanu. Thank you. Because, of course, there's Patriots ties down there with Dimitrov, and the Patriots and the Falcons have done business before, aside from Super Bowl 51. So I'd look at Mohamed Sanu, Greg.
You know, Nick, these guys won't give you a break. They just, I don't know what it is with them.
Easy target.
Why are you a target?
Broad, easy target.
They enjoy mocking you. I don't get it.
I love it.
I don't understand.
Like swimming in raw sewage. I love it. I love it.
I don't. I don't understand. I don't get it.
Hate us because they ain't us.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, Nick is here today. Wiggy will be here tomorrow. Also here tomorrow, Gronk. Gronk will join us in the studio tomorrow. Coming up on Thursday, the governor will be in here, and I'm sure that'll all be vape ban talk with the governor when he gets in here on Thursday for breakfast with Baker. And Julian Edelman, not a top 25 receiver in the NFL, will join us on Friday's show. So let's talk about this college professor who has written a piece in which she says that SpongeBob is violent and racist.
Yes.
And that her name is Holly Barker.
Yes, she's from the University of Washington.
She's woke.
Obviously.
And, extra woke.
Extra woke.
Super, not woke-ish.
And she has written this piece, which is titled Unsettling SpongeBob and the Legacies of Violence on Bikini Bottom.
All right, Pinhead.
A play on words?
What?
I mean, they named it Bikini Bottom because it's funny.
Mm-hmm. Well,
her take is that it's really in reference to the Bikini Atoll in the Marshall Islands, mm-hmm. okay, which during the Cold War, the natives were relocated, and the American military used that zone for nuclear testing. Mm-hmm. So she's saying that SpongeBob SquarePants and his friends play a role in normalizing the settler colonial takings of indigenous lands while erasing the ancestral Bikinian people from their non-fictional homeland. Non-fictional. Uh-huh. Now, she then goes on to say that the colonization of Bikini Bottom is violent and racist, and also claims that SpongeBob SquarePants is guilty of whitewashing of violent American military activities against Pacific natives.
And I'm wearing 3 pairs of underwear right now.
This is amazing.
She goes on to say that as an American character allowed to inhabit an area that natives had no choice but to leave, SpongeBob thus demonstrated his privilege of not caring about the detonation of nuclear bombs.
Yes, he has sponge privilege. He's got sponge privilege. These people are crazy. Wouldn't you like to have enough time on your hands that you could sit down and try to figure out how SpongeBob is racist?
Yeah, be a college professor.
I mean, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's
well,
that's
don't forget, Greg. Recently, somebody said that the only reason why Tom Brady is so popular is because of white power.
Really?
Yeah, there was some other professor like a week and a half.
URI.
Yeah, at URI. There was the piece about like Tom Brady is responsible for the rise of white power and empowerment in white males.
It's actually by Alex Reamer.
oh my God! And look, here's another piece. The Flintstones was a racist show because of dinosaur enslavement.
WPS.
Honest to God, literally. A show that has a theme song, Who Lives in a Pineapple Under the Sea, yes. SpongeBob, absorbent and yellow and porous is he. This is all code, by the way, for
She does reference
racism.
In this piece the theme song also.
Yeah.
Saying that, I'm not kidding you.
Well, she hears racist as opposed to porous. She's like,
right.
Absorbent and racist is he.
Racist and enslaving.
Yes. This
professor, Holly Barker, that we're discussing, who wrote this piece saying that SpongeBob is racist at the University of Washington, said that the theme song denounces the area as one of full of nautical nonsense.
Oh, who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Absorbent and yellow and porous is he.
And racist is he. I mean, okay, now I've heard everything.
She said there's a perceived imbalance between male and female characters. The name Bob represents an everyman rather than a culturally appropriate character. She also touches on the cultural appropriation of the Pacific culture, saying that because they wear Hawaiian-style shirts, they've got homes in the shape of pineapples, tikis, and Easter Island heads, as well as a steel guitar, that they are engaging in cultural appropriation.
Yeah. Right. Oh, no, she's right. I'm never going to watch it again.
Can I make a Krabby Patty now?
Krabby Patties. They appropriated the Krabby Patty from another culture, I'm sure.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, they're making fun of people that have mood disorders. why are the burgers angry? Right. Don't you have feelings for people that are taking Zoloft?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is this the best we can do?
Uh-huh. Yep. That's the way it works on college campuses in 2019. All right. Well,
can you just like throw a dart at the TV schedule and you're like, this is what I'm going to write about today?
Yes. They're attacking SpongeBob as being racist. Okay. Thank you.
People are paying tens of thousands of dollars to go to the University of Washington so that their children can be taught that SpongeBob SquarePants is a colonial racist.
Do we ever get back to reality or is this keep going? Like, is this going to keep forever? We're just going to be finding different ways.
I think
that
it's just
going to
exist. Well, they're running out of things.
Right.
Mean, everything that exists, whether it's entertainment or your daily life, has been determined to be racist. So now they're running out of things.
But will we look back on this time as an anomaly or is this just going to be our future?
No, I think I think it's the future. I really, unfortunately, I fear for it. I believe it is the future. 617-779-7937 is the number if you would like to be on the show this morning or if you'd prefer to text. You can text on the text line, which is 37937, and we'll be right back.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Belichick gave you the game ball after passing Peyton Manning. When was the last time that you got a game ball from Coach?
I don't remember, but that was very nice. That was very, very kind. I was, I would say, unexpected, but certainly appreciated.
Apparently that comment is some kind of a big deal or something, Curtis.
Ooh, social media is buzzing.
Why?
The reaction as you, well, you told Tom that everybody reads into everything he says.
Yes.
And Dan Roach, who is probably the harshest Patriots critic in the country, tweeted with a thinking man emoji.
Oh.
Quote tweeting Mike Reese quoting Tom Brady, who said that he was, it was unexpected but certainly appreciated when he received the game ball. So people are looking into what that means, why it was unexpected, but what it meant, what the whole thing means.
Oh, my God. Well, I don't. Maybe he just wasn't thinking about getting the game ball. Maybe that's it. Maybe we can just move past it.
It was
unexpected because he's got such a broken relationship with Coach.
They hate each other.
That's
why he said, I love you guys, in the wrap-up speech. And then he said, SpongeBob is a racist. Don't let your kids watch it.
Hashtag fill the dreams.
I get it. I mean, that's what this is about.
Well, Wickersham reported Brady was upset for not getting the Player of the Week award. So there's a history of reporting behind this. This is not rampant speculation. I'm with Roach. That's a head scratcher.
And Belichick gave himself a game ball for the win as well, which I thought was weird.
A little self-serving.
Actually, Ordway gave it to him.
It's not a.
Did he have to reach up?
It's not a head scratcher.
It's an eyebrow razor.
This is the Columbus Day effect. That's all I can think. People don't know what to do with themselves on a should I or shouldn't I work Monday. Plus, the Patriots, it's a semi-bye because they played on a Thursday, then they don't play until Monday.
Uh-huh.
So that's 11 days to come up with new fake takes. Greg, you should have heard the way people were analyzing when Brady last Thursday night paused answering a question about the development of the offense and then said, we'll see. There was a five-second pause.
Yeah.
People were freaking out about that five-second pause like that's code for he's pissed.
Well, how about the length of his answer to your question about personnel moves? 2 minutes and 47 seconds and him explaining how he's just an employee. I mean, that hit home. He went into great detail about that.
He's said that now several times. I don't know any other way to ask it. I mean, I think you have to ask him if he's frustrated, right? Because the narrative is that he's so angry and he's so upset. He doesn't have anybody that he can throw the ball to, and he's infuriated. And so you have to ask him. And I thought his answer was pretty good. I mean, the guy's, he's frustrated. He's never happy. I mean, you're not satisfied with that as an answer? That's not good enough for you?
No, I think it's quite revealing. I think he's saying he is a bit frustrated. He's explaining to you why. But it's not like he blew it off and said, people were making too much out of this. I was not frustrated. He said, I was frustrated. Here's why.
Yeah.
He would have rather a left tackle instead of a game ball, though. I think that's sort of what he meant.
The asking price for Trent Williams has got to be coming down. Oh, congratulations to the Deadskins on their first win yesterday. You beat the Dolphins by point. What is Washington doing? They're going to let this guy sit out all year and get nothing for him. Nothing. Why not just deal him away for a pick?
I thought Isaiah Wynn was the savior coming back.
This has nothing to do with Isaiah Wynn being a savior or not. Why would you not want to acquire more quality depth for your line, Kenneth?
Why would you want three tackles? If he's your tackle, why would you want three of them?
Because Marcus Cannon has a bum shoulder he's been playing through all year.
Nick already quit on Isaiah Wynn.
Jeez, I know. The first round pick.
There you go. And welcome to the spin. Nick says something. It's mutated for their own benefit. By
you've already said the offense
Patriots Hater Incorporated. When are people allowed to change their mind or course correct over time, Ken?
Like two weeks in a row, you said the offense was
like I remember, very touchy. I remember the first day I came in here and I said, "Yeah, I like Ken."
Just stop killing Isaiah Wynn.
He's very crushing the guy.
Well,
jeez,
very sensitive. Truth is, Isaiah Wynn likes SpongeBob, so very touchy. Please,
very touchy. Very sensitive.
Very sensitive about my Patriots. Yes, I am.
I know. I understand.
By the way, one of the big stories going around today, Greg, in the world of Patriots, N'Keal Harry eligible to come off injured reserve today. Did you hear Ken, the Patriots hater, old Pittsburgh Pete in the other room mention that? No. Want to know why? Because he doesn't want to see him succeed.
That's Stidham's great weapon for next year. That's an extra thing.
He doesn't want to see him succeed?
Nope.
Really? Why?
Nope.
Why? Why?
Because he's a Patriots hater. he's a hater.
Pittsburgh Pete.
Pittsburgh Pete.
Hey, you'll notice when I'm desperate, I'll resort to alliteration. Old Cranky Curtis.
Alliteration fixes a lot of things.
It is truly the crazy glue.
It can fix a lot of things.
Breaking the countdown clock is on. AB just posted a photo, so ooh. I've got my eye on the TB like.
Yeah, okay.
We're waiting for that to come in.
What is it a picture of?
It's a photo of a whiteboard that says, if you feel like you're losing everything, props to the correct spelling of your. Remember that trees lose their leaves every year, and they still stand tall and wait for better days to come. Very prophetic.
That's the stupidest
hashtag
thing I've ever
call God. Hashtag God call.
And now, this hour's Antonio Brown update.
Brady just replied, hashtag I miss you.
Then he deleted it. I screenshotted it, though. Too fast.
Is somebody helping Antonio Brown with his social media content now? I mean, there's no way that he knows he comes up with that tree allegory himself.
No, he probably stole it. He probably Googled inspirational writing for Instagram. And then it was he scrolled down three pages just to make it look like he didn't take the first thing.
What does it say about people who are constantly on Instagram sharing these inspirational memes about how, you know, you need to align yourself with the right people?
It means they haven't found the right people to align themselves with in their life.
But is that what do we used to call it? Vague booking?
Yeah.
Where somebody would, whether it's Facebook or whatever the social media thing, they would throw out this innocuous message like, you never know. Who you can trust mm-hmm. until it's too late. Yep. And then, you know, it's that.
Just when you think you know people, they prove you wrong.
And it's directed at one person.
One person. And they're waiting for that one person to see it. And that one person never acknowledges the post. And it burns them. I saw two posts yesterday on Facebook. One was I can't believe this is where my life is now. And then 15 people are oh my God, are you okay? Thinking this person's going to off themselves. No reply. No nothing. 2 hours later. You know, sometimes I wish people would mind their own business. I'm like, oh, you that was textbook. Textbook. God.
I mean.
So passive aggressive. Please pay attention to me. Don't talk to me.
But yet you're somebody who thinks that you can delve deep into Tom Brady's feelings based on the fact that he likes a post by Antonio Brown.
Yes, because Tom Brady is not a 26-year-old Instagram girl hawking fit tea with a 15% off discount code. He's a guy that's going to have every breath he takes scrutinized, and that's the only way he can send a message.
Right. Well, he ought to do, he ought to send some kind of a tree, some kind of a philosophical tree statement back at Antonio Brown.
He should just put a tree emoji as a comment. He's supporting him.
With hashtag curbside composter.
Yes.
Yes. You'll notice there was alliteration in there as well, Ken.
Hang on a second. Wait a minute. This makes perfect sense now that I think about it. Brady was over the weekend doing some things with the kids. There was a lot of foliage in the background, trees, leaves, and then AB posts this. Right. It's connected to what Tom Brady. God damn it.
I'm sure that's exactly what it is.
My mother's going to yell at me for saying GD. I'm sorry,
sure
Mom.
I'm sure that's
I don't get the hashtag call God. I don't know. What where is that picking up steam?
Oh.
What does he mean, call God?
Oh, he edited. He edited the caption. First, it was hashtag call God and then hashtag God calls. Now it's vaya con Dios, hashtag better days ahead, hashtag call God.
That's a lot of hashtags. Shouldn't we have a 2-hashtag limit?
No. How else are you going
to
get
your
posts?
What if you have to get charged? The same way you would have to pay $15 to make an appointment at the RMV. They should have to pay by the hashtag.
You know how
That's how Twitter would make money.
You know how there could be better days ahead if you don't throw furniture off of balconies at little children.
True.
That would be how there could be better days ahead.
Hashtag stop texting.
If you don't harass a woman, a single mom who dares to want to be paid for the services that she provided, that's how you can have better days ahead, Antonio. Mm-hmm.
If you hashtag act like a grown-up at a deposition?
Yes.
By the way, vaya con Dios, Ken, if you don't have Zac Brown Band toes for the next rejoin, you're dead to me. Get on that.
But Boomer did say that he doesn't think AB ends up playing anywhere.
It doesn't sound like he's going to. I think this is a unspoken thing among the NFL teams that nobody's going to sign him, because if you do, they will reopen the investigation and it will be embarrassing for you, and you'll have to pay him while he sitts on the injured on the commissioner's exempt list.
So when it comes to the investigation, is the NFL just basically letting that go away so as to eliminate the whole distraction that he is? I mean, are they getting to the, like, we still don't know whether they've interviewed him or not.
Well, this Rosenhaus thing is sort of, it doesn't make any
was
sense.
Was Rosenhaus here Saturday meeting with Mr. Kraft? I don't know that.
Okay. The story, I believe, was that he was supposed to be meeting with him Friday or Saturday, and somebody was, you know, flaunting it all over Twitter saying it was, you know, the meeting
was
with Rosenhaus.
Was
it Mo Chanel? It was Bro Chanel, yeah.
It was Bro Chanel.
We've actually bumped Gronk for Mo Chanel tomorrow.
Drew Rosen.
Drew Rosen.
But the thing is Antonio Brown hasn't met with the NFL to discuss this. They still haven't spoken. So Rosenhaus is out there saying that Antonio Brown wants to be back in the league. Well, first things first, go sit down with the NFL and meet with them. I mean, he obviously, it's all crap. They're just trying to get his name out there because they know that that's the only way he'll get attention.
Curtis, can you be placed on the commissioner's, you know, non-football exempt list or just the commissioner's exempt list without actually being on an active roster?
I don't believe so.
I think you actually have to be currently in the NFL for the NFL to say, okay, now that you're in the league again,
right,
you can't play.
Exempt.
Yeah, when you're not in the league, you're not in the league, and that's that.
Was Kareem Hunt on the exempt list when he signed with the Browns, or did he get put on that when he was signed with the Browns? You know what I'm saying? I don't know exactly.
Right,
how,
and then he got his 8-game suspension, right?
Well, I really don't believe that the guy is radioactive. He's just a dope. He can't handle, like, if he could just go play football and stop with the tweeting and the texting and everything,
nope.
he'd be fine. But nobody, I don't think anybody wants, listen, the, he's amazing.
Even I have to admit, it's pretty exciting.
It was not exciting.
Yes, you said it.
Uh-huh.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 617-779-7937 is the number if you'd like to call and you would like to be a part of the show today. Or you can text on the text line, which is 37937. Dale and Keith down at Gillette today on a Patriots Monday. And James White will join them.
Correct.
And then, of course, Bill Belichick this afternoon with OMF here on a Patriots Monday at WEEI.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.